The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
He won big time. He won the popular vote. He won the Electoral College vote. Mm-hmm. He deserves to, as long as they're not criminals. I mean, Democrats, if this was a Democrat, they would push, you know, MSNBC and them. They say, no problem. We're not even going to talk about that. Let's get him through. It's important because it's going to defend Trump from weaponization. It's going to defend Trump from Russia, and lawfare.
Correct.
He needs someone to cover his back.
And so they were voting, we were all voting, for not just the man to fix the problems we have, but as a statement about what needed to change. And all of these picks make a statement. The people chosen were people in many ways targeted by the department that they're being placed in. Right? That it is the ultimate statement that the people that you were trying to destroy are now in charge of this.
Rockets are heading to Mars. Government agencies are about to get gutted, and the deep state's lost its juice. Trump's been sending their calls straight to voicemail. The FBI has been begging to help vet his cabinet picks, but 47's like, no thanks. You're not going to find dirt on my people, blackmail them, and leak it to the Post. And Trump's been cutting Biden's State Department completely out of conversations with world leaders. Remember last time Trump's talks with Mexico and Australia were leaked? So that's not happening either.
Judging by the way President Trump is preparing to take office on January 20th. I mean, this could be an epic resurgence. We've talked about how it's going to be short term, but he's learned a lot of lessons from the last time around. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Don't forget about the live replay. Sorry, not live. It's a replay. The replay every night on LFA TV. That also is a Rumble channel. So to get to the material we've got to go through, we better jump in because there's always a lot to cover on this show. But an epic resurgence. This article from the Washington Post. They're very concerned. He's not doing the transition in the traditional way. He's not seeking out help from the deep state, from the DOJ, from the FBI. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm tired of the leaks. I'm tired of the spying. I'm tired of the lawfare, the persecution. They tried to trip him up every which way in 2016 and 17. Obama just unleashed the deep state on Donald Trump and all things Trump. He'd do the same thing if he could. It says here in the Post, 1,000 miles from the austere buildings where Washington runs, Donald Trump's transition team in his Mar-a-Lago resort has begun what a close ally calls a hostile takeover of the federal government. A hostile takeover. Here he's voted in with 80 million votes. He wins easily in the Electoral College. He has control of the Senate and the House, at least on January 20th he does. And they're talking about this because he's doing it the unorthodox way, because he's not relying on all these government agencies that have been so thoroughly weaponized. They see this as a hostile takeover. In fact, like the one commentator said there, the people that they went after, including people like Matt Gaetz, they're the ones that are going to be in charge. I talked this morning about the tables turning, God laughing at the evildoers. We went through some of that a few days ago on this show, Psalm 37. I got into it in some greater detail. Perhaps I can do it again tomorrow, but we'll see. It says here, since his victory, Trump has ignored many of the rules and the policies intended to guide a seamless transfer of power and handover of the oversight of 2.2 million federal employees. He's ignoring the rules that provide for a seamless transfer of power. Oh, you mean like the one in 2016 and 17? They would not stop harassing him for the entirety of his term, even when he was done, even when he left peacefully. They impeached him. They impeached him again. It says here, instead, the president-elect, who has pledged to fire thousands of civil servants and slash billions of dollars in spending, has so far almost fully cut out the government agencies his predecessors have relied on to take charge of the federal government. You know, it used to be where if you're voted in as president, well, then you go to the deep state and they tell you how you're supposed to function. They tell you what you're supposed to do. No, I think the founders drew up something a little bit different. All of these agencies. You take the Department of Education, people up in arms over that right now. It didn't even start until 1979 or 1980. And try finding a commentator that can even tell you what the Department of Education does. You probably won't find them. And here's the New Mexico governor, just up in arms. Oh, it'll be devastating if the Department of Education ends up being closed. What did we do before 1980? What did we do without the Department of Education? Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, they penned the op-ed yesterday, I think it was, in the Wall Street Journal or one of the newspapers, just spelling out, this is what we're intending to do. I mean, you talk about transparency. What a breath of fresh air this is. To know that this time the deep state is not going to hamstring the 47th president of the United States, certainly not to the extent that it did in 2017 and beyond. Certainly not if you get people like Matt Gaetz presiding over the DOJ. They have to look to the government, you know, the bureaucrats, the 2.2 million employees. Think of it. These people saying that President Trump needs to look to the 2.2 million employees to figure out what he needs to do next. No, no, he's in charge. He's their new boss. And he's coming in with a lot of fresh, bold ideas. And he's put together a coalition that is just driving them crazy. Listen to Josh Hawley. He was on with Jesse Waters last night. Clip 4.
See, I think the thing that really the press and the establishment hate so much is how broad this coalition is. They can't believe that people like RFK and Tulsi Gabbard are in this coalition and in this cabinet. And it just reflects the breadth of President Trump's mandate, the breadth of President Trump's coalition. This isn't your typical cabinet, and that's as it should be. It reflects the winning majority coalition Donald Trump put together.
A winning coalition. And so they can go on and on the morning meltdown, talking about Matt Gaetz and all of his sins. Suddenly they're preaching about morality, these people. They couldn't care less about Hunter, the Bidens, the slush funds, the pay-to-play schemes, the drug addiction, the sex addiction. None of that mattered to them. Now all of a sudden it matters. Matt Gaetz might have done something wrong. Now they're very concerned. This is from the Washington Post piece. It says, Trump has yet to collaborate with the General Services Administration, which is tasked with the complex work of handing over control of hundreds of agencies. How is Donald Trump going to serve as president without the much trusted General Services Administration? The GSA. Is Trump going to be able to pull this off without the GSA? This is laughable. And then the FBI that hates Trump, full of Peter Strzok, He's supposed to go and have all of his candidates vetted by the FBI, Chris Wray's FBI, Merrick Garland's DOJ. Are these people serious? That says, in calls with foreign heads of state, Trump has cut out the State Department, its secure lines, and its official interpreters. Jesse noted that in the cold open. And you know why he's cut out the State Department? Because they leaked his calls last time around. He has learned a lot of valuable lessons. He does not trust the deep state, whether it's the State Department, the DOJ, or the FBI, or I guess even the GSA, which I just learned about in reading this Washington Post article. It says here, as his team considers hundreds of potential appointees for key jobs, he so far declined to let the Federal Bureau of Investigation check for potential red flags. Oh, you mean like they did, like the DOJ did with Matt Gaetz for 3 years and then drops it, doesn't indict because there's no case there? And now here comes the regime media and supposedly a House report on Gaetz, and they're trying to resurrect all of this again. Trump's right. He tweets out this week, this is the way they operate. They smear you. They try to destroy you. And so you can expect the meltdown to go on and on for 20 minutes, perhaps all the show for all we know. I certainly don't sit down and watch hours of it. I would like to get in on one of their meetings after the show is done, because MSNBC's on the chopping block. You talk about turning the tables. Just think about this for a moment. MSNBC, Trump is Hitler. We're going to save the country. We're here to save democracy. And as it turns out, they can't even save MSNBC. They're trying. Comcast wants to cut MSNBC and change its name because it's so toxic. I mean, everybody at Comcast is a radical left winger, but MSNBC is so filled with hatred and rage that it's hurting the NBC brand. So they want to change the name. This according to several reports over the last day or two. I mean, it's unbelievable what has happened to the regime. They have lost their mojo. The regime media, the deep state, certainly the dear leader, Barack Obama. All of these things, as I've been covering this week, these are miracles. How did this almost overnight transformation. How did this happen? A lot of people have awakened. And, of course, we had the election a little over 2 weeks ago. And now here's Donald Trump, 1,000 miles away from the deep state, 1,000 miles from the swamp. And he says to the FBI, no thanks, we'll take care of it. And he says to the State Department, no thanks, I'll call them on my phone line. You can tap into that one if you like. You can spy on me, you know, through the normal means that you usually do it. He's doing it his own way. He has to. And if he's able to pull this off, what we're looking at in terms of a resurgence, it could be epic. It's not going to last forever. We've got to tell you that. That's discussed in America Under Attack. But a resurgence is coming. This is Jesse Waters from last night, clip 3.
If they're going to talk about Gaetz, then it's only fair we talk about the slush fund that Congress has and has settled for hundreds of sexual misconduct allegations. The stack of NDAs is a mile high. Do we really want to be pointing fingers here? Trump says this. This is what the radical left lunatics do to people. They dirty them up, they destroy them, and then they spit them out. They're trying that right now with some great American patriots who are only trying to fix the mess that the Democrats have made for our country. We will win. At Mar-a-Lago, confidence is high. They think all the nominees are getting through. And they're willing to spend political capital to do it. And once they're in, it'll look like a coalition government with three factions. He has America First nationalists, establishment conservatives, and dissident Democrats.
Even dissident Democrats. What a coalition. How did he pull this off? Bobby Kennedy? Tulsi Gabbard? Joe Rogan? Elon Musk. These are not all right-wing conservatives. Far from it. Somehow he managed. Victor Davis Hanson, his latest. It says here, we're witnessing a historic counter-revolution after Trump's victory, far different from his first election in 2016. I mean, this is bigger. This is going to be a bigger resurgence than what we saw for the first 3 years of his term. That was an interruption. My father, remember, said if Hillary Clinton would have gotten in there, well, that may well have been the end of the republic. God intervened there, and he interrupted the dear leader's, all of his plans to fundamentally transform the United States. And then God allowed the election steal. And again, looking back on it, you think, how did we just barely survive the bitter affliction of these past 4 years? And yet, amazingly, look at how these past 4 years, look at what they've taught Donald Trump and just the way he's approaching the second term. It's really his third term. But he's approaching it totally different. And it's alarming to the Washington Post. They see his not relying on the deep state as a hostile takeover of the government. They can continue on with their screaming. They're screaming now about Gates. There's some screaming about Tulsi, about RFK. But Gates, I mean, he's the big target at the moment. They've got to destroy him. But like Jesse points out, do you really want to get into all of the sexual misconduct charges that just happen every year? I mean, the NDAs, the money that Congress pays out on the taxpayer dime to try to make people go away. Sexual misconduct? I mean, nobody is going to get on this show and justify any kind of misconduct. But as Jesse brings out, if they bring it up, you know, and they point the finger, there's going to be a few fingers pointing right back at them. So we'll see. It says here, and they're likely to be the orthodox and the supposed scripted future are now suspect. And they're likely to be dethroned from the trivial to the existential. This is VDH writing just today. Despite being the target of Democrat lawfare for years, a defiant Trump promised to end an open border, massive illegal immigration, rising crime, and soaring prices. One of the points that Hanson makes is that, okay, you can say, well, he didn't get enough of a majority of the popular vote. He didn't get as many electoral votes as Ronald Reagan did in 1984. But Hanson says on all the policies, he had overwhelming support. Democrats as well as Republicans, they want to see a secure border. They want to see an end to skyrocketing inflation. They want to have cities that are safe. They want people to be deported. And to hear these heads exploding now, and this week of all weeks, when you've got this high profile case with Laken Riley, her killer, her murderer, goes off to prison now for 10 life sentences, and how he avoided the death penalty. Well, it's probably some George Soros funded district attorney that said, you know what, we don't want to stir up any more strife. You know, because all the illegals are here and they're helping the country. I mean, we'd have worse inflation without them. They're actually saying this. To bring these things up, to defend the illegals, to act as if illegally entering the country is not illegal, to act like President Trump is the first president in history to deport people, to deport illegals. It's just insanity. Peak level. Listen to this montage. These are your blue states, your blue city mayors, and they're lining up to fight against Trump to say that, nope, he's not coming into our state. He's not bringing in the National Guard. He's not using the military. They're defending the illegals. They're defending the indefensible is what they're doing. This is number 18.
If the Trump administration requests it, would the Massachusetts State Police assist in mass deportations?
No, absolutely not.
There's been some talk about using other states' National Guard, red state National Guards, to somehow come into a blue state and try and enforce these new Stephen Miller-inspired rules. And that's just not something we're going to accept.
Are you noticing a trend? I see it. You don't hear those leaders talking about the almost incalculable amount of fentanyl that continues to come across the border, much of it into Arizona, crossing over Nogales and into the rest of the country. Yeah, they don't talk about that.
What we also see, I think, under mass deportations is you're going to see further cost for American families going up. If you start deporting the agricultural workforce and the people in the essential jobs that are putting food on the table, grocery costs are only going to go up. These are also people that are providing caregiving services to our loved ones. There's already a worker shortage. So I think there's a lot of negative impacts to the economy, to the human toll it's going to take, to families and tearing them apart. And I think it would be a real catastrophe in also eroding some of the trust that communities have with, you know, law enforcement agencies.
Okay, you've said that you're not going to help with Donald Trump's aspirations to do mass deportations. I think there are a lot of people out there who are happy to hear that. What can you specifically do to stop his efforts moving forward as once he becomes president?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, as you know, it's unlawful. You can't use the military. You can't do mass deportations, violating the Constitution and the law. We're not going to do that. We ought to be working on making sure that violent criminals and criminal activity is stopped everywhere. They're disrupting family status and the economy, inhumane, cruel, unfair, discriminate policies that, again, are illegal on their face. We are not going to cooperate in any way in that effort.
The mayor of Denver, Mike Johnston, is saying we're going to maintain our sanctuary city status and we're not going to put up with mass deportations from Donald Trump in January. Illegals are allowed to stay here and we will protect them.
Look at this clown. He says this: more than us having Denver Police Department stationed at the county line to keep them out, you would have 50,000 Denverites there. It's like the Tiananmen Square moment when the rose and the gun, right? You'd hate every one of those Highland moms who came out for the migrants, and you do not want to mess with them. Really? You really think a lot of those moms that saw the Lakeland Riley trial thought, I just hope my daughter stays in danger? And have you seen what this guy's allowed to happen to his sanctuary city per capita? The most overrun city with illegal immigrants in the country. And this guy's standing behind it.
Fighting for the illegals. How'd you like the New Mexico governor? The woman that said it's unlawful. It's unlawful to deport illegals. It's not lawful to use the army when you're being invaded. And to defend the illegals, particularly the ones that Tom Holman says are at the top of the list, the criminals, the tens of thousands of murderers and rapists, and to rush to the TV cameras and to defend them, even as this Lake and Riley case is going on. This young lady on a morning jog near her campus, she fought against this cold-blooded murderer, this gang member, for 18 minutes. And New York, for its part, he had a rap sheet. Oh yeah, it went on and on. New York, let him go. Put him on a taxpayer-funded flight to Georgia. That's how he got down to Georgia, this murderer. And now we've got to put him up in the U.S. prison system for the rest of his life. He looks like he's in his 20s, cold-blooded murderer. And we'll be paying for him because we can't have the death penalty. Come on. He just raped and murdered her. And then to see governors and mayors out there saying that, yeah, people are just going to turn out tens of thousands from Denver, actual citizens, to defend the indefensible. Well, we'll see about that. Is that what the people of Denver really want? This Victor Davis Hanson piece, the FBI, the CIA, and the DOJ, not the massive crowds at rallies, were the ones truly out of control. It's the alphabet agencies that were out of control, that are out of control, and that President Trump doesn't need advising him. Certainly not. President Joe Biden was really suffering from dementia, not those who said he was. I mean, that only collapsed, that fake narrative, on June 27th, just 4 months ago or so. Trump and his MAGA appointees promised to slash over $1 trillion from the annual federal budget, disbanding entire agencies. Is the objection that an ever-expanding government, $37 trillion in debt, running nearly $2 trillion in annual deficits, is the objection that, no, we'd like to just see that keep growing. We'd prefer to overspend by $2 trillion per year from here on out. We'd like to see $37 trillion expand or balloon out to $100 trillion. Is that what the people opposing Trump's policies are suggesting? They're defending the indefensible. How could you not read Elon Musk's article if you're just an ordinary American saying, well, it's about time? It says here, Trump promises historic deportations of the 12 million who destroyed the southern border and surged in without health or criminal audits. I saw Brian Kemp, he's the Georgia governor. His family knows the family of Lake and Riley. And he says, you know, we've been pleading with the Biden administration, at least tell us where the criminals are going. I mean, we understand you're letting them go, but help us out here. Biden and Kamala, they can't do it. Just quietly put the cold-blooded murderer on a plane and let U.S. taxpayers pay for it. Where is Kamala, by the way? If she's the she's vacationing in Hawaii. Got it. You can see, I mean, it's on its last legs, but obviously America has been under attack. It has been fierce. It has been vicious. And as I've been covering this week, I mean, what a different tone, what a different approach to government just in this new administration that's preparing to hit the ground running. Trump vows to rescue swamped social services and stop crimes by illegal alien felons. He says, is that really worse than the Biden administration's original massive importation of millions of illegals? You have these left-wing journalists screaming about mass deportation when what we've witnessed for the last 4 years is mass importation of the gangs, the criminals, the insane asylums. They've come from all over the world, 184 countries, 46,000 Chinese nationals. Most of these people, young, single men, military-aged men, just like the cold-blooded murderer that the authorities in New York said, hey, why don't you fly down to Georgia? That poor family having to sit in that courtroom just a few feet away from this gang member who murdered their daughter. Hanson says, Trump says he will deter enemies without bogging America down in endless wars, and did just that in his first 4 years as president. We've had some stories at thetrumpet.com. I mentioned the other day, 1,000 days, this Ukraine-Russia war at thetrumpet.com. It says roughly 1 million Russians and Ukrainians have been killed or wounded since the start of the war, according to the Wall Street Journal. 1 million? All of this happening under Joe Obama's watch. A 2.5-year war that we were told would end very quickly. Oh, yes. And Victor Davis Hanson says, I mean, there's no plan. There's certainly not a plan to win, and there's no plan to get out. Just keep sending money. Keep firing missiles into Russia now. U.S. and U.K. missiles. And then Russia responded. This, too, is from the Trumpet. Russia launched an intercontinental ballistic missile at Ukraine, according to Ukrainian Air Force officials. This was discussed in the morning brief. Using an expensive ICBM for a conventional strike means one of two things. Russia is short of missiles. It's resorting to repurposing ICBMs, or it wanted to send a message. And Mr. Palmer says, I believe it's the latter. Putin firing an ICBM in anger would have prompted a lot of fear in those who knew about it. We don't expect World War III from this, but we do expect fear of Russia to transform Europe. That's what we've really been hammering away at ever since this war started. This is going to change the landscape militarily in Europe as they see Putin on the march. And all of it happening, as I just said, under Joe Obama's watch. Back to this this Hanson piece, just the last few bits. It says, for Trump, party identification, titles, traditional prestige matter less as he is surrounded by an ideologically diverse cadre, including Musk, Kennedy, Dana White, Tulsi Gabbard, and Joe Rogan. There's the coalition that, as Josh Hawley said, that especially infuriates the communist left. The country no longer must apologize incessantly for its past or present, but can move on. Content that it need not be perfect, or content rather, that it need not be perfect to be better than all the alternatives. It says the age of flashing pronouns, renaming iconic landmarks, statue toppling, trashing the dead, vandalizing with impunity the campus library, or spouting anti-Semitic venom is passing. So another name for the Trump counter-revolution is a simple return to sanity. That's Victor Hanson. With the latest, this is a very different government. The contrast is just as it's described in the Bible. The contrast between Antiochus on the one hand, his administration, and then Jeroboam, as we've talked about for so many years now. This piece from Elon Musk and Vivek, as I say, what strikes me about it is, well, not just that they're bold, fresh ideas, but just how transparent it is. Look, this is what we're aiming to cover here. This is what we're going to do, and we want everyone to know it. It says, we are assisting the Trump transition team to identify and hire a lean team of small government crusaders, including some of the sharpest technical and legal minds in America. We want it to be lean. We want it to be efficient. We want to reduce costs. It says this team will work in the new administration closely with the White House Office of Management and Budget. And the rumors this morning were that it's going to be headed up by Russ Vogt, who is oftentimes on Bannon's show, as is Matt Gaetz. So, again, it's a diverse coalition. But there's some in there that are pretty hardcore conservatives. It says the two of us, at least in the political sense, as we cover in the latest issue of the Trumpet magazine, I mean, the conservative moral standards, those pretty much have been out the window for decades now. But we'll leave that aside. It says here, the two of us will advise DOGE at every step to pursue three major kinds of reform: regulatory rescissions, administrative reductions, and cost savings. So get rid of regulation. Let the American machine, the entrepreneurial spirit, let it go forward. Remove regulations. Reduce administrative bloat, reduce just the excess. And then cost savings, of course, together with that. We will focus particularly on driving change through executive action based on existing legislation rather than passing new laws. Our North Star for reform will be the U.S. Constitution, with a focus on two critical Supreme Court rulings issued during President Biden's tenure. Interesting how the Supreme Court, the Kingdom's Court, may well provide some helpful assistance to the Trump administration in just curbing government excess, cutting back regulations, saving money. It says here, when the president nullifies thousands of such regulations, critics will allege executive overreach. In fact, it will be correcting the executive overreach of thousands of regulations promulgated by administrative fiat that were never authorized by Congress. The president owes lawmaking deference to Congress, not to bureaucrats deep within federal agencies. The use of executive orders to substitute for lawmaking by adding burdensome new rules is a constitutional affront. You know, and a lot of this was just done. How could we ever forget the dear leader saying, hey, I've got a pen and a phone. I'll just bypass Congress. Isn't it amazing? Obama, I mean, all the recess appointments so that he could get his radicals through. And now to hear the meltdown go on about how dangerous recess appointments are. And then, you know, I was talking to Sam just the other day. You know, wasn't it Harry Reid who got rid of the filibuster? Because, well, if we've got a 51-seat majority, we've just got to ram our policies through. Well, now the tables have turned. Now, I mean, you get rid of the filibuster, and 53 senators who are Republican can cause some damage to the Democrat cause. So many of these strategies, they're employed all the time by Democrats when they have the control. A simple, slim majority is all that they need. Well, now they've lost that. And a new administration's coming in, and they're not doing it according to, you know, John Brennan's rules. How rich is that? John Brennan on TV saying how dangerous it is that Trump's not relying on the FBI. Okay. No, I think he knows that's the safest course of action. He's got to work independent of these agencies because they're corrupt. They need new leadership and more. They need some of the Elon Musk downsizing as well. You listen to some things that Gates has said over the years about just doing away with the DOJ even. I mean, that's if he goes through, that's what he presides over. Nobody could have. Ronald Reagan said this back in the 1980s, I believe, or maybe he was campaigning before he became president. No government ever voluntarily reduces itself in size. Government programs, once launched, never disappear. Actually, a government bureau is the nearest thing to eternal life that we'll ever see on Earth. Now, there's a lot of truth to that, and history bears it out. Until this time, until assuming Elon and Vivek have some success, can you imagine? I mean, if you're old enough to remember the Reagan years, I mean, government just got bigger and bigger during those relatively prosperous years as well. Up went the national debt and so on. I mean, Reagan did a lot of good things, but there have been a lot of bad things that have been going on really for centuries. It would be amazing, a sight to behold, to see this administration come in and actually cut cost and actually cut spending and actually reduce the size of government and actually fire some bureaucrats. It says here, finally, we are focused on delivering cost savings to taxpayers. Skeptics question how much federal spending DOGE can tame through executive action alone. Well, skipping ahead, it says many, many federal contracts have gone unexamined for years. Large-scale audits conducted during a temporary suspension of payments would yield significant savings. The Pentagon recently failed its seventh consecutive audit, suggesting that the agency's leadership has little idea how its annual budget of more than $800 billion is spent. They have no idea where the money goes. I mean, at least with the Pentagon, like Sam was saying this morning, at least you know that, you know, the objective there is to build up army and weapons so you can win wars. But how do you know what goes on at the Department of Education? What is it doing? It's receiving hundreds of billions per year as well. With a decisive electoral mandate and a 6-3 conservative majority on the Supreme Court, DOGE has a historic opportunity for structural reductions in the federal government. On top, our top goal for DOGE is to eliminate the need for its existence by July 4th, 2026. That's like a year and a half in. I think these individuals are prepared to hit the ground running. It says here, the expiration date we have set for our project. There's no better birthday gift to our nation on its 250th anniversary than to deliver a federal government that would make our founders proud. It's kind of inspiring, as I've been saying. I mean, it shows you the power of leadership, where they're actually coming into office and seeing themselves more as a servant, you know, than a big, powerful, overbearing leader like John Brennan or the Dear Leader, heavy-handed. Just listen to us. Do not question. I played you that montage yesterday of the COVID years. All of those authoritarians, they want for you to forget that history. Even though it was just 3 years ago, what happened in 2020, and then the vaccine push in 2021, all of that government abuse, all of those lives destroyed. Listen to, this is from Joe Rogan. I played you all those clips yesterday from Bobby Kennedy. But Rogan, he's on talking about how Big Pharma and company all got filthy rich off of the vaccine, off of the lockdowns, off of all that government heavy-handedness. This is just from 2020 and 21. Play clip six.
Is there any nefarious intent behind this whole idea of it killing everybody that's forcing some enormously profitable venture, like forcing everybody to take these vaccines you guys developed?
Right.
Like, is that... could that be factored in? Maybe. Well, no, only you only hear that it's factored in once everybody's profited and got out, including Bill Gates.
Yeah.
Bill Gates, who's on television telling everybody, get the vaccine, you won't get COVID. And then afterwards, it didn't work. After he had unloaded all of his stock, he wasn't effective. And it turns out COVID wasn't as bad as we thought it was. Well, you guys are really responsible for a bunch of people taking a medication that was unproven. You're responsible for all the side effects. You're responsible for all these, and you're responsible for fear-mongering, lying, closing down businesses, ruining economies, changing the political structure of the country.
They need to be held to account. I'm not going to forget this, and a lot of other people won't. People's lives were destroyed, and it is, I mean, there needs to be a reckoning.
There certainly does, whether it's the vaccine side effects, all the people who died suddenly. There needs to be a reckoning. People need to be held to an account. Their lives were destroyed, their livelihoods. People were afraid. They were afraid. I had people emailing me after we played that montage for you, a reminder, just a 4 or 5 minute reminder. People that they saw arrested for nothing. Not wearing a mask. What was it that the football player said earlier this week? People aren't afraid to come out and show their public support for Donald Trump anymore. There's a different mood in America today. Maybe not so much on the coasts, the dark blue pockets where you have the swamp and you have big media. But all the rest evidently have had enough. And they've given Donald Trump, of all people, for God to use to save America, they've given him a massive mandate. And like Jesse Waters said, I mean, he's never mind what the scream, all the screaming you hear about Gates or whoever, they seem pretty confident at Mar-a-Lago. Now, there's a lot of weak Republicans, as we well know. But everyone is looking at the bottom line saying $37 trillion, 15 million illegals, 10, 12% inflation, crime all over our cities, welcoming in 15,000 murderers or rapists from overseas, abroad. It's, as I said yesterday, I mean, this is called bitter affliction. This is bitter. And Trump knows, and his people know, they've got a lot to fix. How could you possibly fix everything? There's so much sickness. There's so much disease. There's so much waste. The Department of Defense, seriously, has failed an audit 7 straight times. This is about the Department of Education. It says, much of what Trump and MAGA activists claim the agency is responsible for, like teaching critical race theory and LGBTQ ideology, isn't actually the purview of the DOE. Things like curriculum and teacher choice are already the domain of state departments of education, and only about 10% of federal public education funding flows to state boards of education, according to Vallant. The rest comes primarily from tax sources. So states and local school districts are already controlling much of the funding structure of their specific public education systems. So it's kind of like it's making Trump's point. Well, what do we need the DOE for anyway? If that's the case, if you're saying that the states already pretty much have control, then what's the DOE there doing? Well, Trump's right. His people are right. Pushing and promoting woke policies. Making decisions based upon race alone. Those kinds of things. That's what government's good at. It says here, it quotes this Vallant guy, I don't know who he is, but it says, I find it a little bewildering that the U.S. Department of Education has become such a lightning rod here, in part because I don't know how many people have any idea what the department actually does. You're making Trump's point. I can't understand why it's become a lightning rod, because I don't think most people even know what the DOE does. Well, you're right about that. Nobody knows. But everyone who's up in arms, I mean, they are pro, big, massive, ever-expanding federal government bureaus. Once they are there, like Reagan said, they never go away. They just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. That New Mexico governor, the one you heard talking about how it's unlawful to send an illegal home, listen to what she had to say when asked about the Department of Education and if it was closed down, how it would affect New Mexico. Clip 10.
So, Governor, let's get your response to something else that the president-elect has proposed, which is eliminating the Department of Education. If that were to happen, what sort of impact would it have on your state and its students?
Devastating. It's devastating impacts.
Devastating. What kind of devastation are we talking about? Play the next one. This is number 11.
We are finally moving the needle by reintroducing the science of reading, and we're seeing dramatic increases in our literacy scores. They want to abandon all of it. It will have devastating both financial and school access components, including transportation for New Mexico kids. And again, we will fight it. We will also put our own investments. If that occurs, we aren't going to let kiddos fall further behind anywhere.
Unless we create another scamdemic, and then we'll send them home. We'll send them home indefinitely. No school, because you gotta wear a mask. You've got to hibernate in the basement. These are the same people that say if the Department of Education is closed down, it's going to be devastating. It's going to be catastrophic. Well, as I said earlier, what happened before 1980 when it didn't exist? How did they learn reading, writing, and arithmetic in 1975 or 1925? To see them scream and not even really know. They funding, yes. Woke policies, yes. Racial discrimination, yeah, we'll promote that. It ought to be shut down. And it's not alone. All agencies should be passing their audits for sure. In a world like going back to VDH, in a sane world, it's just common sense, right? Send the criminals back home. Send them home. They ought to send the murderer, but they probably couldn't guarantee that he'd be put in a prison back in Venezuela or wherever. But he comes up here, he kills an American citizen, he murders her. She's struggling for her life for 18 minutes. And now U.S. taxpayers get to fund his stay at the state hotel. Cable TV, movie nights, oh yes, weight room, sports out in the prison yard. It's amazing to think about what America has done to itself. How vicious the attack was coming from the Antiochus administration. But so much of this affliction, I mean, it even goes back further. As Satan was laying the groundwork, I don't have time to get into part two. I was going to get back into what RFK has said about health and the food industry and big pharma and all of that. But the brother-sister combo that are making the rounds on Tucker, they were just on Joe Rogan recently. And RFK, too, pointing back to the mid to late 1980s when Big Tobacco, after the FDA came out and said smoking is harmful, Big Tobacco just shifted over to the food industry and put all of their addictive, unhealthy elements or ingredients into food. Cheap food, highly processed food. And then you add to that all the chemicals that are sprayed on that food. Chemicals that by the hundreds and hundreds, thousands even, are illegal in places like Europe, but not here in America. And then the big pharma industry that realized, as Callie Means pointed out, that realized in the 1970s that, oh, now there's actually conditions that people will take pills for the rest of their lives, or at least for many years to come. He was talking about birth control pills and how that big pharma perked up when they saw that happen because they thought, oh, you mean America? There are certain conditions where Americans would be willing to pop pills indefinitely? And then the skyrocketing rates of chronic diseases, and of course, the pill popping, to just keep it under control, to keep your life going just long enough to be, well, a lifetime customer. As you can see, we've got a lot more that we can get into tomorrow. Can't believe tomorrow's already the last show of the week. I can't believe we're at the end of the road for this show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.